Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking previews, all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Welcome
whoa.
Into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast here. Week 11 recap. As always, this stuff is pretty familiar. MWCConnection.com. Mountain West Connection Facebook, Twitter, MWC Connection. We're still getting very close to 2,000 likes on all that stuff. And if the New Mexico fans show up, we might get to 2,000 sooner than later on Facebook. Right, Chris?
Yeah, yeah. Sure, why not?
That's our we'll see how Chris Hondris' mood tonight. We also got Matt Kennerly.
A Twitter question. I'm glad people are concerned about me that there's a Twitter question.
Fine. We also got Matt. So, Matt, say hello real quick so people know you're actually here.
What's going on, y'all?
Perfect. And apparently I owe you some socks. We're going to talk about that later, too. So
Matt's my favorite person to podcast with. I just want you to know that.
All right. So what's the question, Chris? What are people concerned about with you?
You want to get to the Twitter questions now or later? Because people are asking if I'm still salty about the loss. I'm not really salty. I wasn't really salty last night about the loss. Although I wasn't too happy about, the whole taxi cab ride back. It was funny because my taxi driver pointed out, he's like, there's not too many happy people around here. I'm like, no, not at all. So
I just wanted this question to come out to set up the show because we are going in traditional chronological order. And so we want to get your mood now up front so people can understand what's going on.
I am stoic. How's that?
I will say this.
Stoic. I'm upset that my team lost, but I can't say I didn't see it coming.
It's New Mexico, and your team that you didn't have no affiliation for, this is probably your favorite team, correct?
Oh, I would say so, yeah.
All right, same with me. And then we got Matt there, whose team – we'll talk about Zach Greenlee later, but man, whew, where'd that come from?
I appreciate you putting on a brave face for everybody, Chris. I'll feel good for the both of us. How about that?
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, my team blew it. Their playoff chances, but losing in double overtime, so that's great too. Thanks, Utah. All right. Well, let's get to the games. We had quite a few good games. I think almost every game. Let me ask you guys this: outside the San Diego State walloping, this could have been possibly like the best weekend of competitive games. Well, I guess Fresno, but they showed up for other reasons.
No, I mean, I think you're right. I think it was definitely one of the more competitive weekends of the season.
And it's nice to say that in a non-conference week.
Yeah.
It shows there's a lot of parity in the league.
It does. Let's get to game number one. Air Force at Utah State, or excuse me, Air Force hosting Utah State, 35-28. This game was weird because I know Matt was watching the game when I was. I know, Chris, you probably just saw it a little bit after, but talking with Matt here at the beginning, this is like, okay, let's play defense, let's play offense. Let's play defense, let's play offense the whole game. It was like spurts of great offense and great defensive football.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, shows you how evenly these two teams were matched. And, you know, when you look at the total outcome, you know, I think both teams had a lot of big plays that they benefited from, but ultimately it was Air Force that was able to make, you know, a couple more big plays on defense, and that was really kind of the difference.
It was, yeah. Weston Stillhammer's bum shoulder still able to jump up and knock down the potential game time play. That was pretty amazing in the last final seconds. What are your thoughts on this with Kent Myers? Because a lot of people say, no, he's Chucky Keaton, he's doing all that stuff, but this is by far his best game, I would say. He only ran for 22 yards, but he had that 21-yard. He scrambled multiple times for first downs. And he went, 25 of 47 for 364. Well, assuming he has it figured out.
Considering it seemed like he was under a lot of pressure more often than not, you know, they sacked him three times, which kind of depresses the rushing yards. But, you know, he had three sacks. DJ Dunn from Air Force had two on his own. But, you know, the fact that he was able to, you know, make plays down the field, I think is something that was missing a lot in Utah State offense. You know, if you go down the line of all of their receiving totals, you know, I'm not looking so much at the yardage, which in itself is pretty impressive. You know, he had 364 yards on 47 attempts, but it's just the fact that, you know, Hunter Sharp's long catch was 48 yards. You know, Wyatt Houston, the tight end, his longest catch was 22 yards. You know, Brandon Swindoll had a long of 22. Those were things that we weren't seeing week in and week out. So, you know, I think a lot of the blame maybe has to do with that kind of vaunted defense we all expected to see.
Yeah, it's not like Hunter Sharp. That's what I want to see. Hunter Sharp. Him and Hunter Sharp hooked up. One was a deceptive 39 or 40-yard bubble screen, but him to Hunter Sharp, we've been waiting for that for like a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Chris, did you get a chance to check the Air Force receiving box score on this one?
Yeah. I actually saw it while I was going out to eat yesterday. I did pay attention to the games before. The fact that there's 271 pass yards, this is actually sort of kind of how I was expecting. Remember how I said I wanted to make the triple option style offense?
Yes, you did.
This is kind of like how I want. It's kind of like how I want it to go, except I want more passers instead of just Carson Roberts. I want each person with the ability to pass. But, I mean, still, a very strong 11 of 17, 271 yards. I mean, and here's the funny part is these receptions outside of the Jalen Robinette 74-yard touchdown, I mean, none of these are really super long out past 30 yards.
Well, no, because you take away the 74-yard strike, and you know, he still passed, you know, 10 completions for like 200 yards. That's like 20 yards completion, and that your Air Force is exactly what you want to do. You want to be able to get big chunks of yardage. It seemed like every time Robinette made a catch, it was, you know, for a first down for big chunks of yardage at a time. And when you put the number in perspective, I went on Sports Reference, and apparently since at least 2000, they hadn't thrown for this many yards in like 15 years. So it shows you kind of how rare this kind of performance is out of an Air Force quarterback.
Yeah, that extremely rare. Like this game, like this is what the offense can be extremely dangerous for Air Force. Because their running was reasonably okay. Nothing exceptional on their part what they normally do. But if they're able to, like if Chris said, if this offense could do this, not necessarily yardage-wise, but maybe at least the percentage of run to pass, they could be one of the better teams around. And what do you guys think now? They won this game. They're 5-1 in the conference. Apparently the big games, New Mexico. Where would you guys rank Air Force? I know we're going to do our rankings this week. What are they, your number two or three team right now? Are they your best team?
They've moved up to my number two.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine the standings in the head right now, and I without thinking too much into it, they couldn't be any lower than three at the very least.
Where'd you put them, Air Force New Mexico? Then where'd you put that?
Oh well, I mean, I would move New Mexico up. I don't remember where I had them last week.
No, I mean between the two schools though. Between the two, who would you put higher going this week?
I think I might be tempted to put Nevada ahead of New Mexico.
Nevada?
Yeah. What? Yeah, didn't they play head-to-head, and didn't the Wolfpack beat them by two touchdowns?
Why are you using logic?
Get out of here with your...
Why are you using head-to-head logic?
Okay, well, they have the exact same record, and Nevada has the head-to-head advantage.
Jeremy, he's bringing facts into the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those games where, you know, Nevada, good Nevada showed up, right?
So yeah.
Good Nevada. I like how there's a distinction between good Nevada and bad Nevada.
Well, we've all seen both Nevadas.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen both New Mexicos, too, so.
That, too. I think that that's the only team that I could think of. I would definitely have them both in the top five, I think, at this point. But I'd have to, like, look at the standings.
So if you're going that route, I'm assuming San Diego State's number one. And then you have a combination of Air Force, New Mexico, Nevada. Then you're putting Boise maybe five in that group?
No, I would probably have Boise, like, four. I don't know. Okay. I'd have to work through it.
To make the San Diego State fans upset, you should just rank Boise first.
Well, I've been doing that anyway, but I don't know if I could justify it anymore.
I can't justify it.
I don't know how this happened, but last week Boise was number one in their power rankings, so that was kind of odd.
Not my fault.
Not my fault either.
May have been my fault.
Next game. I would have loved to watch more of this San Jose State-Nevada overtime game, but I want to punch Campus Insider in the face. Again, can't watch the game. It's not clear. It keeps crashing on me, multiple browsers, and I missed one heck of a game. I gave up like in the second quarter or third quarter. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. But Nevada won overtime 37-34, and they're bowl eligible. Congratulations, Wolfpack.
Yay.
I mean, you got to give them credit. They came back to mm-hmm. tie the game, right?
Yeah, that's right. They were down what?
I think they were down by I'm looking at the – okay, so they were never down by more than a touchdown because they were, you know, trading blows back and forth pretty much all game. And
it was field goals.
Yeah, well, if you look at the box score, they were pretty much even for the entirety of the game. You know, the Spartans had 433 yards of total offense, and the Wolfpack had 409. And even the splits between rushing and passing were eerily similar.
And somehow Tyler Irvin got shut down again to only 64 yards.
Yeah, which is kind of strange, but, you know, Kenny Potter got loose. I think that was his first 100-yard game of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure, yes. Probably career-wise as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, but I think San Jose State might kind of regret the way this game went because they missed, you know, they have missed opportunities that could have made a potential difference. You know, Austin Lopez, their kicker, had been doing a little bit better this year, but he missed two field goals.
Mm-hmm. What was a 50-yarder? So that one's not really guaranteed at all, but he still missed one long one.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Nevada's Brett Zuzo missed one as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, they both were a little bit mistake prone, but they were pretty evenly matched for the most part. One thing that kind of sticks out to me kind of looking at it now, did you guys know that Nevada was 5 for 5 on fourth down?
Crazy. That's impressive.
So you know what's even crazier? Just looking off the side, not even the stats stuff. Did you know that this is the only 11th overtime game for Nevada in their history?
I did not know that.
Good stat there.
That's some trivia shit right there.
God. So, go ahead.
It's like a fact like you that you'll probably end up forgetting, but it's interesting when it gets brought up because now that like. I can't remember the last, but I remember that, like, the 2007 Nevada-Boise State game, I mean, Boise State and Nevada have gone to two or three overtime games. So if that's the case, then, I mean, Nevada just doesn't go to overtime a lot.
Well, it's usually because they're underperforming more often than not.
What? Well, sure. Well, when we think about it, since 08, pre-08, they, even though Chris Sale is Hall of Fame, they weren't very good to pre-Colin Kaepernick.
Wrong. At FCS level, they made the national championship game one year.
Dude, I don't – FCS, no. Get that out of here.
Well, Matt, back me up.
Well, you know what? Let's give a little bit of credit to Tyler Stewart, too. He's been a little bit under the radar, in my opinion, but he stepped up, especially in the fourth quarter, kind of looking at the split stats. He was, you know, he was 6 of 11, which isn't great, but he had 80 yards in the quarter, and he was responsible for two of those fourth down conversions I was talking about on the last drive that enabled the Wolfpack to tie the game.
So with this game, yeah, they just been, like, Nevada hasn't been consistent all year. I agree with you on Stewart. He gets – I've always said this offense needs Stewart to get probably more yards than he had, about 250 total. And then it looks like James Butler starter with 119, then 200 combined between Butler and Jackson. That this is almost the ideal offense you want them to have. I'd prefer over 200 passing yards for Stewart, but converting the fourth downs, three touchdowns, no interceptions, this is almost exactly what they want on their for this pistol offense to be spread out. And I like Stewart a bit. There's people saying, oh, he shouldn't play and bring in somebody else, but there's nobody else they can bring in, and they're going to a bowl game. Are we still correct on this, Chris, that they can still win the West if San Diego State somehow loses their final two games, right?
Yes, I think that is true.
Yeah, because they played the Wolfpack and the Aztecs play the final weekend of the season.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, okay, so.
You have to imply that San Diego State has to lose to UNLV next week.
I mean, it's possible. Hey.
It's possible, right?
Okay. We'll get to that game later where everything's possible later tonight. No response?
I thought you got cut off for a second there. I was waiting for you.
I'm looking at Chris's video face here, and he's like, Chica said, not saying anything. But so, really quick, guys, is San Jose State going to go bowling now? They have two games left to get to six wins. Is that a possibility?
They have to beat Boise State in the last week of the season.
So?
So, yes, they will.
Well, are we going on the base of if teams have to beat Boise State to make a bowl game? Is that what we're going based off of?
No, we just screwing with it. But they're probably going to beat Hawaii, so it'll come down to that final game of the year. So
it's going to come down to the final game. So like I was assuming that Hawaii was going to be a win.
And it's at San Jose State. Not that their home crowd matters, but still, it's a home game for them.
One final note, how many quarterbacks in the conference have more touchdown passes than Tyler Stewart?
Nick Stevens.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Woo! Without looking, I got it right.
let me just say this.
I was thinking because I don't think Brett Rypien has gotten there yet.
Rypien is right behind him. What I'll just say, and if we want to move on to the next game after this, it's cool. But as a Fresno State fan, I think I would probably kill for Tyler Stewart's production right now because he hasn't made a habit of giving the ball away. He's got a 15-5 touchdown interception ratio. Maybe he hasn't been quite as explosive as quarterbacks we've seen in the past out of Nevada, but you know he's kept them in games more often than not. He's never really taken them out of games. And you know that's a quality that you can build on going forward.
Yeah, that definitely is not turning over too often. And you think about it going further, I'd have to look, but playing Texas A&M, there's a couple turnovers there, I believe. And so he's playing a tougher schedule where doing what he can. But let's move on to another great game, 49-35 Colorado State ended UNLV's bowl eligibility chance.
So basically, this UNLV team can only go as far as Blake Decker will take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting at here. Because you know how we talked about in the preview that Blake Decker had to hit the 60% mark?
He did.
He hit the 60%. He was at 68%. He had two touchdowns, zero picks. And he goes down with an injury. And then so you have Kurt Ballendack take over, and he's 9 for 24.
I may also credit you with your Lexington Thomas. Good call on that one.
I know these teams, dude.
I'm just saying.
I was the one who was worried about New Mexico. I thought Boise State was going to win, but I was worried.
So was I. We'll get to that game. I was not overly surprised in that result, but we'll get there. Slow down.
Well, let's give some credit to the Rams, too, for kind of shutting down the UNLV running game. You know, Keith Whiteley very quietly had a pretty decent season, but he only had 33 yards on the game.
Well, it's a Lex show now. It's all Lexington.
Right?
Absolutely. So we can we call him like a can we give him like some sort of American Revolutionary name now? Or is that we'll have to wait until next year?
Hold on. Lexington shots fired Thomas.
There you go.
That's good. He had a touchdown, a 32-yard run. He had 10 yards of carry, about 11 yards of carry. I would equate Colorado State to Nevada, where they're up and down quite a bit. And hey, we got Hollywood Higgins showing up, 3 touchdowns and 7 receptions.
He actually showed up
and played quite impressive. But yeah, Devontae Boyd played well, but Higgins with 3 TDs. Who's Kendall Keys? Can you tell me who that player is?
Kendall Keys has quietly become the second receiver for UNLV. He's basically been kind of sort of the deep threat guy, but he's been more of the UNLV's post guy. And he's had a good season. I mean, he had 3 touchdowns in this game. He's, I think, up to what, 10 touchdowns?
No, just four total. That's it.
Only 4 this year?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, who the heck is this guy?
No, but he's quietly had some production numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Especially over the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, he had 25 receptions coming into this game. His touchdowns wasn't there. I was just curious. He's a heck of him and Boyd. Another year.
Oh, you were asking who Lexington Thomas was last week. So, you know.
Hey, I don't care. I was the guy who would never pick UNLV no matter what until this year.
And we would always pick Fresno State.
No. Yeah, this was just a game where UNLV, it's kind of their story all year. They can't quite hang. Part of it's Blake Decker, of course. That's probably the bigger story. But with Kurt Palladick, what do you go, 9 for 24? He played he had a touchdown, but not very good. It's just a game where they didn't have enough at the end. And I'm wondering if they had Blake Decker, would they have won this game if he was able to play all 4 quarters?
I would probably say no, if only because the defense didn't look like it could get a stop to save its life.
Yeah, that's
you know, when
defense just has zero depth.
Because, you know, Colorado State averaged over 8 yards a play. and, you know, they were 6 of 9 on third down. So, you know, the defense wasn't able to get off the field. And, you know, the running game especially seemed to really chew the Rebels up. You know, they had 325 yards rushing, 7 yards a carry. That's pretty good for any running attack.
Mm-hmm. And the turnover, but the thing too, Rams were -2 in turnovers as well. So it's like there were chances, but yeah, it's a defense. Like we saw in Boise State game, people were giving us a big hissy fit about it was closer than it really happened, even though we all know we're not dummies. The fourth quarter happened, but through 3 quarters, they were evenly matched with Boise State. And then they just don't have that the depth, whether on defense specifically, to get past these teams late in the game. So maybe next year,
I'm gonna talk about this real quick because Matt brought it up with the Nevada San Jose State game. Look at the difference in terms of just flat out team stats until you get to the passing. You have UNLV to Colorado State 502 yards to 534. Possession is pretty close. UNLV won the turnover battle, and then first downs were exactly equivalent. It's not just the defense having holes and not being able to make a stop on the ground, Matt. It's the fact that Colorado State was playing the exact same bend but don't break, except they had the don't break part down. UNLV did not have the don't break part down.
And you might be right, you know, because you know the Rams racked up, I think it's like 6 or 7 tackles for loss. And the Rebels only had 2, so that might have been one of the big differences right there.
But, outside of that, third down efficiency is fairly close, 7 for 15 versus 6 of 9. But it's just – so where do you go from here? Like, if you're Colorado State, you got one more chance, 2 more chances to make a bowl game. That means you have who do they have left? We'll play the bowl game or no bowl game in a bit. But they have Fresno State and New Mexico. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, they're going to beat Fresno State.
So yeah, this should be quite interesting. Okay, so Jeremy stepped away for a little bit. So I guess it's just us two. Like it used to be.
The podcast as it was meant to be.
Yeah, we should have our own theme song, or we should just take over the basketball podcast.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh God.
So, move on to the next game.
Dude, so is that the San Diego State Wyoming game?
Oh, is that the one? Is that the next one? We can talk about that one.
Are we going to? I knew he was trying to say the chronological order, meaning that my game, then your game. But I wonder, because San Diego State Wyoming started the same time as the other game.
Oh, I thought it started like 15 minutes later. But we can talk about San Diego State until Jeremy gets back.
We do? We have to?
We do.
Can we?
You know why we have to?
Because Maxwell Smith for Heisman?
I don't know about that.
Damn it, David.
Do you know how many points San Diego State has given up in conference play in 6 games?
Oh, can I make a guess?
Yes.
I'm going to say over 6 conference games.
60.
Oh, damn it. I was going to – oh, you said 60, Jeremy?
Yeah, 10 a game.
I'm going to say 45.
Well, Jeremy's almost got it. It's actually 62 points.
Really?
Yeah. They've given up 10 points a game in 6 games. They have been awesome. And I wish that I had been able to see this game because I was, you know, interested in seeing how they looked, you know, since the only chance I've really had to see them this year was in non-conference play when they looked a little shaky. And in the Fresno State game where they looked really impressive, albeit one-dimensional. And... you know, they did everything you would expect a conference contender to do. They kind of blew Wyoming away right from the very beginning.
So, you know what's funny about you saying that? So I was at an event tonight. After I got off the plane, I had to go to an event for school sort of related purposes. And I had a guy who I met up with a guy who was at the game last night. He's a huge San Diego State alum, and he wasn't impressed with San Diego State's play last night.
Really?
He said Wyoming sucks. We should have beat them by more. We left a lot of points on the field.
Well, I mean, maybe, but the fact that you're holding, you know, an offense that's shown signs of, you know, at least being able to run the ball to 62 yards on the ground and holding a guy like Brian Hill to 72 yards.
No touchdowns.
3.5 yards per carry. And the fact that you basically take a guy who's very quietly been a pretty good quarterback in Cameron Kaufman and make him look silly. You know, he was only 9 of 21, 129 yards, 2 interceptions. You know, the defense is legit. You know, the offense might still be kind of a work in progress, but the defense, just looking at the stat sheet, you know, was able to pile up numbers everywhere.
Maxwell Smith did complete over 50% of his passes again.
Well, he's limited to, once again, under 20 passes. That's all I have to say.
Yep, 12, yeah, that's right, 12 for 19. Efficient, 3 touchdowns, but...
look at this, 138 yards. That's 7.3 yards per complete per attempt. And that's... you can't...
That's 10 yards a pass, so completion, that's pretty good.
Who needs to pass when you can run the ball?
I know, that's why I told like your guy David Farrakhan's, I was like, he's good. I'm like, no, he's not that good. He's just a guy that can make... he can throw just enough to not lose you a game. He's cut down to interceptions. He's finally cracked that 50% mark. He's just a guy where give me 10, maybe like 10 to 18 passes, and that's his limit. He's not going to be a guy, if they play a team, like maybe we thought that was Utah State, but if they play a team where they have to throw the ball and their defense offense gets shut down, they're not going to win. If Maxwell Smith has to throw to win, Aztecs are not going to beat anybody.
Matt, did you – go ahead.
Do you think that team exists on the rest of San Diego State's schedule?
Probably not until if they play New Mexico in the Mountain West title game, that would be it.
But they beat New Mexico earlier in the season.
They did. I'm forgetting about this stuff. They did.
UNLV in home versus Nevada.
Do you think Nevada? Maybe Ian Sales pretty good. Lenny Jones possibly.
Oh, never mind. They didn't play. I thought they played in Mexico.
That's what I thought. Nevada maybe, but I honestly think maybe New Mexico because they held Boise State too. We'll get to that game, but Boise didn't run crazy on them. They threw on them. Brett Rypien threw what, 75 times?
Yeah. So, well, we'll get to that game. Matt, do you agree? Did you listen to the podcast last week?
I did not get a chance to.
Okay, so then you missed my San Diego State is Alabama but worse analogy.
How so?
All Alabama quarterbacks have done throughout the years, and Alabama's basically main point of play is the quarterback is there just to hand the ball off and make throws when needed.
That sounds about right.
And right? A good defense. It's a very, very and a very good defense. It's an extremely boring style of play. There's no flashiness. It's just punch you in the jaw, just run you over. That's what San Diego State's offense is. It's just not as good and not as efficient. Well, because, you know, part of it is you don't have the talent there.
I mean, they had two guys that went, you know, ran for almost 150 yards yesterday. Chase Price, I think, had his – was that his season high, 152 yards?
I think so. Yeah, that may have been his career high.
And then, you know, Danelle Pumphrey was doing Danelle Pumphrey things all over the place. So, I mean, you may be right. It may not be glamorous, but
– gets the job done?
Exactly, yeah.
But
he just barely broke his season high yesterday. He had 151 yards versus Fresno State.
Of course he did.
I think, you know, we kind of, you know, joke about the offense, but the defense – you know, is probably the best in the Mountain West.
Well, they got a couple of players back from that half season long suspension, which was a big deal, and that helped them quite a bit. Jake Feely was injured for a little bit. They're finally healthy and at full strength.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, J.J. Whitaker, who I really liked coming into the season, had an interception. They had 10 tackles for loss.
Excuse me, Matt. That is J.J. Augustus Whitaker.
J.J. That's on his
stat sheet.
I like that. I'm going to call him J.J. Augustus Whitaker.
I'm going to start calling him J.J. Augustus
Whitaker.
Like, it sounds very. It sounds like a Roman legionnaire, right?
The jaw, J.J. Augustus Whitaker. The jaw.
What about J.J. A. Whitaker?
J.J. A. Whitaker?
Yeah.
Or just Augusta Whitaker.
Augustus. Yes, Caesar Augustus Whitaker.
I mean, okay, so do you know where San Diego State ranks in total defense now as far as yards per game?
I'm going to go ahead and say 15. They're probably top 20.
In the FBS level, they rank sixth.
Ooh, what?
287 yards per game, right there between Florida and Clemson. And, you know, and even in yards per play, 4.61 yards per play, they're tied for 12th with Boise State.
Really?
The defense is for real, y'all. And I think we should all start paying attention a little bit more.
I think we have. I've been focusing on the bad quarterback play. That's what I've been focusing on. When it's so blatant in your face, come on.
I don't think any of us have really discounted San Diego State's defense. I think we were just all laughing too hard after they somehow managed to lose against South Alabama.
Yeah, that one's gonna stick a while.
That is fair, right?
Because, I mean, let me ask you guys this. I mean, are they? I didn't get a chance to see this game because I don't have CBS Sports Network. But, you know, if they had been playing like this all season long, would this team have been a contender for the Access Bowl?
Yeah, they would have beat Penn State. Yes, they could have beat Penn State the way they played. They let it go, but they had a chance to beat Penn State, and they just can't win on the road heading east.
So they can't beat Cal either.
Yeah, that Cal who just – well, I guess Cal was good at that part of the year, but that was one of those games. You have to pass to win to keep up with Jared Goff. Had they played Cal, say, this week or last week, I think San Diego State would – legitimately beat them because both teams have gone in opposite directions since they've played.
So then what do you guys think? Are they going to get to 10 wins this year?
Do you mean winning out then essentially 10-3?
They're 7-3 right now. So if you include the inevitable bowl game, do they get to 10 wins?
So title game and a bowl game?
Yeah. Because they're going to...
just to get into the title game will give them 9 wins. So winning out and then losing the title game will make them 9-4, and then as long as they win the bowl game. So they have to win either the championship game or the bowl game.
I say yes. It can be.
Oh, yeah. This should be a 10-win team, no problem.
They'll win next week. Nevada will be – depending on what Nevada team shows up, that's not going to be an easy win, but that will be a winnable game. And then if they play Air – because they can still play Air Force, Boise, or New Mexico. I'm just wondering because everybody in San Diego State wants to play Boise. They beat Boise 2 out of the past 3 years. They don't play this year. They want to play Boise. I'm wondering if they play anybody but Boise, they'll have a letdown in the title game and because, oh, we're not playing Boise and lose to New Mexico or Air Force.
Oh, God, we have to have a New Mexico San Diego State. I mean, that's only proper, right? It'd be like the Mountain West Basketball Championship, except for football, which is really confusing.
I'm in.
Hey, Chris, if it's in San Diego, you got to go, right?
Yes, of course.
We know Jevin will let us in, so we're getting even that game if it's hosted at Qualcomm.
Of course. Does this mean I get to make my Twitter jokes as usual, right? I always behave myself.
You can be snarky, but not overly disruptive.
I'm never overly disruptive, right?
I don't think so. No, you're good. You're good. So let's move to the game of the week. Okay. As for us three in this room and people listening, this result, Boise State, New Mexico, should not be like overly out of this world shocking. Am I correct in saying that?
It's a little shocking. I wouldn't call it out of this world shocking, like you said, but it is a little bit shocking.
They were a 30-point favorite.
And because, New Mexico had never beaten Boise State before. And, you know, we all know that Boise State is especially tough on the blue turf.
Correct. Yeah, I believe this is crazy stat. This is New Mexico's first win of the year over a team that has a winning record. First win against a team with a winning record since, I believe, 08. And first time they've been bowl eligible since, I think, 07, Bob Davies' final year.
Wait, Utah State didn't have a winning record when they beat them last week?
That's what I thought they said when I was watching the broadcast. Dang it, I should not listen to other people. Because Utah State, they're 5-4 right now, aren't they?
They're 5-5 now.
Maybe they meant overall, so my mistake on that. I don't know. Who knows if they're
present.
Yeah. All we know that this was a statement win. This was a program signature win for Bob Davie and his program.
Oh, definitely. This is their biggest win. No joke. This might be their biggest win ever.
Okay, so as someone who didn't get a chance to watch this game because I was watching another game that we'll get to later, looking at this box score, can either of you explain what happened?
Yes. I'll start first. A couple of the interceptions, Chris, weren't all interceptions tipped or something from Rippon?
So, Rippon was 41 of 75, right?
Yeah, he was.
I would say that there were 15 passes that were drops.
15?
I'd say 10 to 15 were drops.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, and that's part of the problem. But every single interception that was from Brett Rippon to
whoever
was a basically either drop or tip. The first one that happened in the red zone, the guy had it, and it, like, he was trying to close in on it, and it slipped out of his hands and fell right into a New Mexico receiver. The second one, same exact situation. The third one to Chaz Anderson, where Anderson went up, he closed his hands, and it tipped up, and the receiver was there to get it.
Yeah, a couple of those, it's like, yeah, it sucks for tips, but you got to give – because I don't want to hear the crap that New Mexico got lucky. They made those tipped or dropped passes were the reason they didn't win. You're there to make a play. They knocked the ball down. Their Rippon was getting hit all night. But the main part of this game, red zone issues for Boise State in the first quarter. The interception was inside the 10-yard line. They missed a 22-yard field goal. Jeremy McNichols.
I'm still not sure how they missed that. Was it a bad miss? Because from my angle, it looked good.
It was close. I fast-forwarded it. Like I said, I came to the game late, so I started from the beginning. It looked – how's it 7-0? I thought they kicked a field goal. I rewound it because I figured it's a gimme. I'm tired. Let's fast-forward a bit to get this thing moving. It was just missed just barely to the right. But they missed that. They fumble inside the 5-yard line on Jeremy McNichols on a pitch that was maybe a smidge too high, but right in his face. He dropped that, and that's what happened. Those first few possessions, they could have been up 21-0. They could have 21 points.
Yeah, Boise State, in reality, should have been up 21-0. They left points in the red zone, absolutely.
At least 17, maybe 17 because the field goal. You know what I mean? 17 at worst.
Possibly. I will say that – I will say, though, despite themselves, despite this whole game, man, if that tackle had not been made on that final Hail Mary, not even Hail Mary, the all the lateral passes, I'm not sure New Mexico would have won the game.
Wait, but here's the thing, too. That pass interference call was total BS.
Which one?
The very end where they got the chance to do the lateral.
The guy where his hand was on the shoulder and pulled him back?
He was not on the shoulder. He dove and extended and made a tip with that right arm. How can he pull with his right arm and extend with the right arm to dive to tip the ball? That's impossible. Because he knocked it with his right arm. It wasn't his left arm. So he can't pull with his right and then go back up with his right.
Matt, thoughts?
So, like I said, I didn't see the game, but I'm noticing that New Mexico had 16 penalties for 135 yards. So,
yeah, and most of them were foul starts.
So was that fake, you know, phony pass interference call emblematic of the calls that New Mexico was?
No, I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me because there were some seriously blown referee calls in this game.
Oh, roughing the passer calls, too. They're inconsistent late in the game as well. New Mexico's – or no, was it Boise State got called for one, but New Mexico did not, I believe?
No, New Mexico got called for one. Boise State did not after the one guy got rocked.
Yeah.
And then they got called for one that wasn't one, and then Boise State didn't get called for one that should have been.
Yeah,
let's not forget the officials review where the guy clearly stepped out the 25-yard line.
I don't know. I was watching because here's the thing that sucks as well. Here's what's terrible about that. On the TV replays, you couldn't tell. It looked because he had white shoes that looked like you could tell his toe was in, but you couldn't tell if it was flat or kind of elevated. However, they're saying on the TV broadcast, the stadium replay was not accessible to the refs, and I guess that showed him out of bounds, correct?
It was a clear foot out of bounds.
I don't know how they don't have access to that replay because everything they showed on TV, it was too close to call.
No, dude. Yeah, I'm telling you, that foot was.
But what I'm saying is the replay they showed to the stadium.
Regardless, blown calls both ways for both teams in this game, right?
Yes.
Remember how we were confused as to which was the officiating crew that got suspended?
ACC.
ACC? This crew might have to be suspended from the Mountain West. That's how poorly this game is called.
Well, the problem with the out-of-bounds play, I don't know how does the stadium have a better view than what's on TV for what they're showing to the fans?
But I'm telling you, dude, from what we were seeing, you want to know why that call, like the boos were so loud? It was a clear out of bounds call.
Well, I know, but I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know why the officials, they took everything, because what they can view is everything from the TV broadcast. And there should be plenty of angles. I don't know how that angle was only an in-stadium angle, but not on a TV angle.
It might not have been ESPN feed or something like that.
That's what I'm saying, but I don't know how they don't have that. I don't, because obviously I didn't see it because it's not showing TV, but the guys there were seeing the game on the video screen, the replay there. So I don't know how that happened. That sucks. But this game, you know what's most surprising? It wasn't the New Mexico offense that won this game. It was their defense that won this game.
It was. No, absolutely it was the defense.
Because, Matt, have you seen the just a box score on this, like the game summary, the matchup for first downs?
I'm seeing that.
It's baffling.
Boise State outgained New Mexico by 200 yards, gave up 638 yards of total offense to the Broncos. Yeah, they gave up 9 of 23 third down conversions.
0 of 10 for New Mexico.
0 of 10 for New Mexico on third down. Like,
yeah.
Chris, did Boise outplay New Mexico and lose this game?
Here's the thing. I want to say yes. I want to say yes, but I cannot cleanly say yes because honestly, what happened with this game, and this is where I'm getting frustrated at watching this whole game, was. At the end of the first quarter, Boise State had outgained New Mexico 195-88. And New Mexico was leading 7-0. They drove the ball.
That was the one play.
Three times within the red zone. They had 40 first downs at the end of the year. There was nothing about this Boise State offense that should have indicated that BSU should have lost. But the problem was the mistakes, the mental errors. You had drops. Ripien didn't have a great game. I mean, 506 yards, 41 of 75. Okay, that's awesome. But, you know, he was still overthrowing guys.
Mm-hmm.
But those overthrows were after he made those picks to make sure, oh, my goodness, I'm going to make sure that nobody can get it. You know? The run game wasn't as strong. McNichols had a solid game, but not a great game. All New Mexico had to do was just big plays.
They did.
And it comes back to their triple option.
Well, also, Lamar Jordan left injured, too. He barely played. They had Apodaca running the freaking pistol option.
But here's the thing is what you were watching. You would see them get stopped. Okay, second and eight. Third and ten, right? They would only get 1, maybe 2 yards on that first and second down. And then it would come to third downs. And you could see that one of the biggest things that New Mexico had benefit. Oh, that's BS. They said they were 0 for 10 on third down efficiency. That's not right. New Mexico was not 0 for 10 on their third downs. Maybe they were, and I was just mistaken.
Was one a touchdown, maybe? On third down touchdown, perhaps?
No, they're saying that New Mexico was 0 for 10 on third downs in this game.
Yeah, that's not. You don't think that's correct?
It didn't seem that way, because it seemed like every single time that Boise State held them on first down or second down, that it would be that third down, that third and long, where New Mexico just took off for a huge play, a 40, 50-yard run.
They didn't
or
have
a 40, 60-yard pass or something.
Here's
like that.
The thing. You may think that, but their attack – I guess the receiving game, yeah, they had a 30, 42, 46, 81 – touchdown, but or not touchdown, but reception. But here's the thing it comes down to. I remember one play specifically. I don't recall. I just remember seeing the play in my mind, but I don't recall if it was a touchdown or whatever. But I think it was a who had a rushing? No, it was a QB run. It wasn't a touchdown. It could have been. It might have been Apodaca, or I don't remember. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But Boise doesn't know how to defend this triple option offense. There's one play where the quarterback came out. The defensive end linebacker both slid down, but one guy doesn't have his head on a swivel. He has his back to the QB guarding the pitch man, and then the guy sliding down who's supposed to guard a QB was just a half a step behind. The quarterback runs right through the two guys for a big gain. This happened when they played Air Force last year. Yeah, the turnovers. The second year in a row versus Boise versus New Mexico, they don't have an answer, don't know how, or for whatever reason, cannot contain this type of run option attack.
Well, let me ask you guys this, and let me ask you especially, Chris, because I'm looking at, like, the play breakdown, and one thing I'm noticing is that, you know, on first down, Boise ran the ball 25 times and passed it 26 times, right?
Yeah, that seems about right.
And I'm noticing that there were 26 plays that were marked as second and long, which I don't know what the designation is, but I'm
probably
assuming it's
eight, seven or eight probably.
Seven or eight, yeah.
So the breakdown in those particular plays was 5 runs and 21 passes. So my question to you is, should Boise have tried to run the ball more?
I think part of it, yes, and where I'm going to definitely say yes was Boise, when they faced a 4th-and-1, this was late in the fourth quarter, there was 4th-and-1, and the play call was a pass fade, which hadn't worked all night, and yet they tried to do that pass fade to the end zone. You're 4th-and-1. You have McNichols. Run the damn ball. I don't care if it's going to run down the time. They hadn't been able to stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only reason I ask is because I'm looking at, like, the 3rd-and-long breakdowns, and they had 16 plays that were marked 3rd-and-long, and they threw the ball every single time.
I think part
yeah,
of it,
that
too.
Is, that is true.
Part of it, too, New Mexico's pass defense has been atrocious. But I get your point. When you have a guy like McNichols running him the ball, it's not like you want to throw the ball more in this game than they did, but look what Tulsa did to him. Look at all these teams did throwing the ball. The Mexico secondary has been their weak spot all year, and Boise proved they could beat it with 500 yards, but that's probably their mindset why they threw so much in those situations. But if you're third and if you're less than 3 yards, give it to one of the best explosive running backs, not just in the conference, but in the entire country. Why not?
Yeah, and so here's my other frustration of the game. If you're throwing that many times, and now that you've confirmed that they were throwing that many times on second and third down, you realize, okay, I know we all know that New Mexico's pass defense has been atrocious. They've improved the last few weeks, but they've been pretty damn bad. But your receivers haven't been catching the ball all night. Why continue to catch the ball?
Can we at least give a shout-out to Thomas Spurbeck?
Yeah, I saw that tonight. Whew.
But he catches 281 yards.
And still probably dropped. How many times was he targeted in this game? I want to say he was targeted like 25 times.
At least not what I see. But, yeah, that regardless, man, that's a huge night.
That was a huge night because he was the only one who was catching passes consistently.
Let me ask you this. We talked about this before the show. I don't want to say it now because Boise fans, like, reading through our Facebook comments, we chatted a minute before. But I want to get this now for everybody to hear and say their response to it. But, like, we know who the guys are, a lot of Boise guys who comment and stuff. But, okay, A, they're saying rebuilding year, young team. And, like, how does that make sense? QB, young, but he's played half a year. McNichols, young, one of the best running backs in the country. Defense, one of the most experienced and brought back every starter. You can't have it both ways. You lose to a bad team, say it's a rebuilding year and you're young, but yet you're possibly winning the conference headed into this game.
No, this is not a rebuilding year. This is a very young team, but this is not a rebuilding year.
But where, though? Defense brought all 11 starters back.
Yeah, but they were – most of this defense, there's not a lot of seniors on this defense.
But I'm saying you bring back a unit that started everybody last year. How is that young? And you brought back your entire offensive line? Because
class-wise, you can still be young and still be a veteran.
No, that's a crappy response. It's experience. They started.
No, that's not a crappy I have not made any explanations about goddamn rebuilds.
I know you haven't. Rebuilds mean
that there's inexperience. You can be young and still experienced.
But that's counterintuitive, essentially.
No, it's not! Help me out here, Matt.
Okay. Would you like me to bring more facts into this?
Like, yes, please.
Yes. Let's put this into perspective. I mean, there's a very reasonable argument to be made that Brett Rypien, despite the rough night, is probably the best quarterback in the conference. Mm-hmm. You know, the passing offense as a whole is probably the best in the conference. The defense, you know, thinking, you know, for the rest of the season and going into 2016, yeah, they're going to lose a lot of veteran leadership on that defense. They're going to lose a lot of talent, guys like Darian Thompson and, you know, Dante Dion, who are probably going to end up playing on Sundays next year. But I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that the offense is going to take a step forward. You know, if you look at how their turnovers are broken down, at least as far as throwing the football, you know, they have three games, coincidentally, the three games that they've lost this year, where they've thrown three interceptions. They, you know, they threw three when they, you know, fell apart late against BYU, and they threw three when they, you know, they kind of fell apart early against Utah State. And then, you know, they had three more interceptions, but it was because they threw the ball 74 times. So, you know, Brett Rypien's probably going to be fine. Boise State's probably going to be fine. You know, he's averaging 8.2 yards a throw. He's got a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. You know, I think he's still the highest rated quarterback of anybody that qualifies in the conference. And he's, what, a redshirt freshman? He's going to be fine. The rest of the team is going to be fine. It was a bad day. Maybe it was a little bit of a weird day. You know, in some respects, it's a, you know, maybe not call, don't call it rebuilding, call it reloading. That's kind of one of those cliche, you know, trendy terms, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
I just don't want to hear excuse. Not that your answer, Chris, is not excused by any means, but people who are saying it's a rebuild year and we're all young, I'm like, boy, the last time they haven't won double-digit games was in Chris Peterson's last year. So it's like, when are they ever rebuilding? Never. When they say they're going to, they still win 10 games.
Yeah, and even then, Boise State, they could still win 10 games this season, right?
Yeah, they still can. So I think we all agree there's a load of crap.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, you know, top 40 as far as quarterback rating. They're still top 20, I think, in terms of yards per game. They're going to be fine, all things considered.
They will be fine. So let's real quick, what bowl game are they going to then?
Let's talk bowl games. Let's talk bowl games after we finish the final game, right?
Okay. Hawaii, Fresno State. Take it away, Matt. Take it away.
Well, Fresno State came away with their third win of the season, 42-14.
Hey, your 4-8 prediction's right on track.
Yeah, maybe, right? All they got to do is beat either BYU or Colorado State.
That's all, yeah.
It's kind of a weird game. Like, did either of you guys watch any of this?
I was unable to. It was
no.
I was late watching that Boise game. I finished like half hour after it. I saw what was happening, but I was too tired to hit the bed.
It was a really unusual game, especially early. You know, Zach Greenlee did finish with, 285 yards and 6 touchdowns. One of only 3 quarterbacks since 2000 to pull off that trick. I'll give you, 2 guesses as to who the other 2 guys are.
Derek Carr.
Yeah, and
David brother. Carr. Yes, David Carr in 2000.
But, early on, it seemed like he looked a lot the same to me as he's looked in a week's past. It seemed like, Hawaii was dropping back 8 into coverage and really harassing him with a 3-man rush. I had written in my preview that I felt like they needed to really account for Kennedy Tulima Sialii especially. And he got to him a couple times early. Julian Jenner, the Hawaii middle linebacker, had 1.5 sacks. He had, I think, 17 tackles, 5 tackles for loss. And there's a good reason. It looked like Greenlee was maybe as shaky as he had been in weeks past. But then Hawaii started getting popped for, personal foul penalties again and again. I'm pretty sure they just got flagged again. For roughing the passer.
132 penalty yards in that game.
132 penalty yards. I think they had 7 personal foul penalties.
Wow.
And, early on, that made a lot of difference. They didn't have to work very hard to move down the field on a few of the early drives. And I'll give Greenlee credit. After a while, he did settle down. He still overthrew a fair share of passes. But, he found the playmakers on offense. Damari Scott scored twice. Josiah Blandon, who's a guy a lot of people around here are really high on, scored a touchdown. Demire Jordan, who, should definitely be considered for a freshman, conference, whatever, player of the year honors. Led the team 4 catches, 79 yards and a score. And even Chad Olson, who last time I saw him was on the box back of a milk carton. he had 4 catches and a score. They really spread the ball around, and it surprised me. It wasn't a perfect game because, they were still able to kind of shut down the running game more often than not. Martez Waller only had 27 yards. And the defense, they did what they needed to do. They made Kaika Woolsey look about as rough around the edges as I've seen him in years past.
Well, him and Max Whittick.
And Max Whittick. Both of their first passes were intercepted. Did you know that?
I just saw they got 4 turnovers, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, Woolsey's first pass was tipped by Kyrie Wilson, I believe. And let's see if I can remember who intercepted that pass. I think it was Jeff Camilli, I think, that intercepted the first one. And then Whittick's pass was tipped right to Ejiro Etteraine, who, for those of you who aren't paying attention, is actually pretty close, I think, to the conference record for tackles for loss.
He's an NFL guy eventually, for sure.
Yeah, he will be. He had 1.5 tackles for loss. He had a big interception return that set up a short field and an easy touchdown for Greenlee. You can probably talk to Bill Warrior about this, or a crack Hawaii writer. The team drove him to drinking after a certain point.
Oh.
He went to go get a drink at a certain point, and that was the one time Hawaii scored all night.
Oh, man. That's tough.
It was kind of rough. Hawaii, I expected their quarterback situation would get resolved coming into the year, and it's looked better as it ever has been.
So is Fresno State back?
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Don't do it.
You know what? I was talking with other people who were, talking about the game after it was over last night, and some of them seemed more optimistic than I am. I would I would rather see this more than 1 week at a time before I declare them quote unquote back. Because, you know, they go to BYU next week, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Greenlee looked as harassed as he's looked against
Fresno. So, I'm going to be at that game. How many quarterbacks should I prepare for Fresno State?
Hey, we lost the over-under on that game last week.
We said 2.5. It was 3.
I was going to say the default is 2 until further notice.
Okay.
Because Tilton Anderson, for whatever reason, did get in the game late, you know, to kind of, oddly enough, at the end of a drive at which they were just running the football to grind out the clock, I thought that they would give Greenlee a chance to tie the program record of 7 touchdown passes, and they just kept handing it off. That was really disappointing. No, and especially considering that, like, for whatever reason, on the couple of drives before that, they were already up, like, 4 scores. Like, I think this was, like, midway through the third quarter, like, early in the fourth quarter. And for whatever reason, they were still coming out with 5 wide receivers and throwing the football. So, whatever Greenlee's final numbers looked like, you know, they were depressed a little bit because of the fact that they made him keep throwing for some reason.
All right, one last question then. Oh, there's some bad news here. Sorry. Basketball. And the only reason I just popped up, I apologize. I was going to ask a good question, but apparently in the Mexico State game, Devon Williams, Mexico forward, taken off the court on a stretcher in their game tonight. That's not good.
No, that's not good at all.
But let me get to my actual football question because we really talk about football only. What's the quarterback situation going forward this year and next year? I'm serious, not joking, but it's been a complete mess. What's going to happen in 10 months from now, essentially, 6 months from now? What's it going to be?
Well, I think in the short term, you know, they may play it like it's a mystery, but I would be really surprised if you didn't see Greenlee under center against BYU next week. I think going into 2016, the prevailing thought process is that it's going to be Chase and Virgil's job to lose.
Hmm.
Yeah, because in the games against Ole Miss and I believe Utah, you know, he was kind of raw. He was a raw product as a true freshman, as you might expect. But, you know, he showed flashes of his potential. You know, he brings a different dynamic to the game that I don't think any of the other quarterbacks can match. You know, he may not have Greenlee's arm strength or Kilton Anderson's size, but, you know, he's definitely faster. And he can make enough plays with his legs and his arm to make him a viable starter, I think. That's kind of what I expect to see, but as to what we'll actually see, I mean, there's a lot of time between now and August, so who really knows?
All right, just curious, because I really want something to be settled because it's just been a mess. All right, let's get to some questions here. We've got a few questions because this is kind of going along with the three of us here. We already talked about Chris being salty, not too much, just above. I'd say give it a medium saltiness tonight, right?
It's like it's like a Greek kitchen over putting too much salt in the pasta after.
I think it reached a peak with you and me going back and forth about experience and youth.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also from Daniel Connolly, how is Nevada the fourth? How is Nevada the fourth Mountain West team to be bowl eligible? That doesn't make sense. Remember the talk.
Air Force won earlier in the day. Boise State and San Diego State were already bowl eligible, and Nevada winning in the afternoon technically, chronologically, made them the fourth team.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
And then let's see what else. So we're talking about San Jose. I don't know, Nevada, San Jose State, best conference game of the year.
I'd have to vote Boise State, New Mexico on that.
Yeah, that might not even have even been the best conference game of the day, let alone.
Yeah.
That Utah State Air Force game was exciting as well.
Yeah, I think if I were going to rank the games that I watched yesterday, I would definitely put Utah State and Air Force at the top of the list.
Because I also remember that game. Wasn't there roughing the kicker penalty in that game to keep it alive at some point?
Yeah,
I think so.
Something like that.
All right, do we want to do bowl stuff or just get out of here? Because we've been going for about hour 10.
Let's play because we only have 2 teams left to play. So, no, 4 teams. Matt, you didn't listen to the podcast last week, but you're familiar with the game. They were playing bowl game or not bowl game.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, actually only three teams. So, Utah State, they have games left versus, well, not Air Force.
BYU is one.
BYU and Nevada. Bowl game or not bowl game?
Ooh.
I've, you know, despite the bumps in the road, I think I've been a little more optimistic about Utah State than most, so I'm going to say bowl game.
I'm going bowl game as well. I think they'll beat Nevada.
Okay. Colorado State, also 5-5, have games left against New Mexico and Fresno State. Bowl game or not bowl game?
Bowl game.
They're gonna beat Fresno State at the very least.
So they're making bowl game. Are they going to beat New Mexico next week?
Ooh, I hope not.
I hope not either.
I want the Rocky Long Bowl. Come on.
Yeah, no.
It's just gonna be so exciting.
And this is not a disrespect to the Colorado State Rams community. I'm ready. I think I've thought about it for most of the day, and I'm ready for Football Bob, conference champion.
Oh my goodness! Doing the one thing he couldn't do at Notre Dame.
They're not in the conference.
He's got a conference to win.
Yeah, exactly. All right, who's next, Chris?
Final one of the night, San Jose State.
Ooh.
At Hawaii, and then they finish up at home versus Boise State.
They're 4-6, right?
They're
right
now? 4-6. They have to win out.
No. Sorry, San Jose State.
No, I mean, I like Boise State to win that matchup. I'm going to say no bowl game.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I mean, fool me once on a 30-point spread. Shame on me. Fool me twice on a 30-point spread. Shame on you. All right, so that's it for that.
That's our show tonight. We had an excellent
socks.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Hey, I owe you some socks, Matt. Apparently, did you hear that part?
Yes, I did.
Have you visited bombas.com at all to check out the selection?
I have not had a chance. No. I'm looking to try and do that maybe over Thanksgiving, thinking about Black Friday or whatever. Do they have any Cyber Monday deals?
I would think they would. They should, because let me tell you this. They are, if you ever heard our spiel about it, no joke, most comfortable socks ever by far. And I'm a sandal guy, and I'm wearing these socks, and I could be wearing sandals, if that tells you anything about it. But they got the honeycomb. They donate to the homeless shelter, those groups of people where they buy socks, they donate socks, which is a great thing. But what we have, 20% off you buy four pairs. And again, they're kind of pricey, but I think they're worth it. We give you 20% off Mountain West, or what is it? bombas.com/Mountain West.
I'm going to buy some socks tomorrow.
You should check out the list, email me, and I'll hook you up. But everybody check it out. They have crazy colors, like they have Volt Yellow. I have a pair of that are gray and bright orange. Black and bright yellow. They do have a subtle white or black tone if you don't want to show off or whatever. But check them out. Trust me. Thank me later. Is that how it goes, Chris?
Of course. Absolutely.
Also keep in mind that El Nino is coming to all of you California listeners.
Oh, they have the...
He did! He totally listened to the podcast last week! He totally did! You, Stephen Bastard, you totally listened to the podcast last week!
No,
you
I didn't.
You stole my line!
I only listened to your impression of me, which, by the way, a very good job on that. But let's not forget, let's not kid ourselves as Californians especially. We don't handle anything under 70 degrees well. So...
Also, Chris, aren't there like those wool socks now, you said?
Yeah, they just have the merino wool.
So check those out. And we got the links in the email or in the website and on the podcast info. But just trust me. Go do it. Get the 20% off. Have fun. Keep your feet warm. But that's our show for tonight. We got a couple weeks left in football, unfortunately. Bowl season's coming up. Check us out. MWCConnection.com, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, soon to be Google Music Play or Google Play Music, whatever it's called, Google Music. We'll be there eventually. We'll let you know. Again, leave us a 5-star review, but tell us how you really, really feel. You can tell us we suck, but give us 5 stars. I think that's fair, right?
Did you see the review left for Shutdown Fullcast? Where Ryan Nanny said this is the best review for the Fullcast we've ever gotten.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't
recall.
Vaguely.
I'll find it real quick because it was hilarious. I have to bring it up, not to make the show longer, but just because it was possibly the funniest thing I read.
This is riveting podcast.
Hey, you know what? You guys aren't saying anything entertaining.
Yeah, I was editing the show here.
Yeah, but I wanted to give a good example of. I wanted to give a good example of a five star review, but just a very awkward review.
Yeah, I mean, like our podcast, we expect our reviews to be off topic as long as they're five stars.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, and if you understand that, then we're good.
Also, one other thing, we're going to have a special edition of the Quinterback shirt coming out very soon.
So you did tell that.
Yeah, right. As Chris looks it up, we have some shirts we sell, whatever. If you buy them, great. If not, I don't care. But
please buy them.
Yeah, please buy them. Give me a dollar. I think I'd get her something if we sell a shirt.
They're heavy cotton. They'll be useful in the wintertime.
There you go. For El Nino again, right?
El Nino's coming.
Same here in Utah. We got no snow last year. We're expected to get, like, trounced with snow this whole winter. So
we'll see. Here you go. So here's the review from Shutdown Fullcast. Best review ever. 5 stars lacking structure by shirtless Brett Bielema. So little time is spent on talking about actual on-field college football. There's no focus or direction. The show always spontaneously ends. They do their best to not talk about some programs, Notre Dame, Florida State. You should never listen to this podcast with children in the car. And the hosts have a strange obsession with Southern rappers.
Do they consider Southern rapper when they're talking about Outkast and Big Boy and Andre 3000?
Absolutely. Are there any other Southern rappers? Actually, there are. But
there's you got what's his name from? You played pro basketball and tried to be a lawyer. Who is that? A Master P?
Yeah, Swaggy P. So anyway, but yes, please leave us reviews, 5 stars, but just telling us. We go off topic too much.
One last shirt idea. I'm not sure it's coming out. They're basically like an ugly sweater t-shirt idea, but the best one, our good friend Daniel Connolly came up with this. Our slogan is that Santa ain't played nobody.
No, that one was mine, man.
Oh, that was your...
That called out!
No, that was... Sorry. He had the Quinterback shirt where it's...
Yeah, he had the Quinterback. He also had Tis the Bowl Season.
That's it, too. I apologize. You gave me so many, Matt. I apologize for that.
No, the Quinterback one with winter in parentheses was Daniel's.
Yeah.
And the other two were my ideas.
That's right. I sent it.
Forget who originally had the Quinterback offense shirt. Matt, did you ever get one of those?
Yes, you did.
I wear it all the time. I wore it yesterday.
Nice.
Big win.
Nice. I wore my retro Mount West Conference t-shirt.
I still have a skip shot shirt I took instead. Nobody knows what that is, but that's what I did something for a few months. I took my shirt from that place instead. But that is – okay, that's seriously our show tonight. Thanks, everybody, for – if you listened and made it this far, give us a thumbs up or say thumbs up or something if you listen to the whole thing in the comments. So – check us out, mwcconnection.com. We'll be back for our next week's preview, probably likely Wednesday. And, man, season's almost over. It sucks. But we'll keep rolling along, and we'll see you guys next week.